So just from my naive point of view, trying to just understand this and also keeping in mind all these other things we're hearing in other cancers. You know, for example, we've been hearing a lot about neratinib in breast cancer. Now that's mainly HER2 amplified, but then I've heard it talk about with mutations. So I kind of have that in mind. You know, again, colorectal cancer, you see amplification, they're using, you know, pertuzumab, trastuzumab. So I don't know whether or not we're kind of looking at the same animal from different points of view, but can you know, somebody's maybe not that familiar with all the biology involved here, kind of paint a picture about how not only the biology, what the receptor is, but how these different agents affect the tumors who have these alterations.
So I completely agree that HER2 alterations is clearly sort of a growing field, if I can say, when you look across oncology. When it comes to lung cancer, studies have been done with HER2-directed therapies, and patients have been selected with a variety of biomarkers. They've been selected by IHC expression, which is routine in breast and gastric cancer, to identify patients who would benefit from drugs like trastuzumab. But patients have also been tested for HER2 mutations and HER2 amplification. It does appear that presence of HER2 mutation is a driver because there's clear evidence that if you're able to inhibit HER2, you see clinical benefit. Now, the data in patients with HER2 amplification is a bit limited, and how significant of a driver, if you do identify HER2 amplification, is a bit unclear. And at the present time, though the data is limited, I think in non-small cell lung cancer, IHC expression may not have a relevance in selecting patients for therapy. So what data do we have for HER2-directed treatments? Now, before I go there, I would say that the rate is about 1-2% for HER2 mutations, and about HER2 amplification is approximately the same. And there are clearly patients who have both HER2 mutation and HER2 amplification.
Could I just clarify that? Because, you know, that graph that you just talked about, if I understood it correctly, said that at least in this study, the 250 people were studied, the incidence of alterations was like 20%. So is that's everything?
That's correct. So it included both mutations, though the patients they identified where they saw the benefit was in the LUX-Lung8 was essentially HER2 mutation that showed a significant
benefit. But all I'm saying
benefit.
is, I think it was 20% of the population, right?
So overall rate of alterations in EGFR family of receptors was 20%, of which only 12. So I would say approximately only 2% or so was HER2 mutations.
Now, 2% of squamous.
Correct.
So, first of all, I'll say that's more than NTRK.
Correct. Now, I will say that that's a little bit higher than other series that I've shown. Clearly, HER2 mutations are more common in adenocarcinomas than squamous. But I think the point is well taken that it is curves enough that at least some of these squamous cell patients may benefit from such HER2-directed therapy, if not actually be considered for clinical trials that are looking at HER2-directed therapy. And I think we have more and more data that is suggesting that there could be benefit.